Thank you, Father, for those who sing and those who write and those who play music. Surely, Lord, music was birthed in heaven. What a joyful and blessed and challenging sound in song. Stirs our hearts, Lord. I wish it was really that way. I wish I could say I'm giving my best all the time. I want to, Lord. I want to do that. That's my desire, and I pray, as we have been challenged in this song, that all of us will go out of this place today feeling, from this point on, as much as I can, I want to give my very best to you, because you're worthy. You're worthy of my best. You're worthy of the best of all of us. And so we just say here this morning, we give you our best. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. Great song, great singing, great music. Amen. This church has wonderful, talented music. Amen. Hallelujah. We honor you, Pastor. You do a great job. Hallelujah. Pastor Steve even knows some songs that I know. That's pretty good when you know some of them that I know. And Kim Knatzer did the little tribute. With the help of my wife, who gave her some pictures. That's all she did. She didn't even know what Kim was doing, but Kim is here somewhere, I think. Way back on the back. Give her a hand. I want to give her a hand. Amen. Amen. She did a great job. Brought back a lot of memories. I remembered that day on the 14th day of July, and my 21st birthday. That was the day I preached my first sermon, on my 21st birthday. My mother and father was there because it was in the little country church in Oklahoma, where, though I was born in Arkansas, when I was 14, we moved over into Oklahoma. And then that was my first sermon on that 21st. It was a Wednesday night. And the pastor, when I had announced to him on Tuesday, or it's Thursday night, when I announced to him on Tuesday, I'm surrendering to the ministry. I believe this is what God wants me to do. He said, well, you can just preach Thursday night. Well, hallelujah. Well, that didn't excite me that much about getting able to preach on Thursday night. But I did my best, took my text out of the book of Revelation. Of course, you know, that's where we all start, in Revelation. Second chapter, thou hast left thy first love. And best I knew, I preached everything I could think of in 8 minutes and ran out completely, but sat down because that's all I could say. And what else do you need to say? That's a challenging word. That should cause people to think. And there were people in that church at Ephesus who had done exactly that. They left that first love they had for the Lord. And he was saying, you don't love me like you did. You loved me better than this at one time. You've lost that emotion out of your love and you've just settled down. Well, I didn't say all that, I'm sure. But anyway, on the way home, my mother and father lived just a half a block from the church, and they're walking along. My mom couldn't wait. My dad's that stoic German, and he rarely ever complimented anyone. And if anyone asked, what did you think of that, he would tell you exactly what he thought. And it didn't matter. He just said it. And so that's what my mother asked. Well, what did you think of it? He said, it gave me the tuck head. That means He didn't want anyone to know who I was, that I was related to him in any way. My dad was not an educated person, but he was truly honest, and he taught Sunday school and churches all of his life nearly, and he lived to be almost 92 years old. But then my mother, who had prayed me into the kingdom and just had bothered the Lord a lot about me. I mean, she said, I thought it was the best sermon I ever heard in my life. I mean, to her, it was the best. It was the first and it was the best that she ever heard. Many years later, on my dad's 90th birthday, we had a celebration, and my dad, as I said, would never be generous with compliments, not only because he just wasn't that type of person, but he didn't ever want anyone to get puffed up, particularly if they're in the ministry. Of course, I learned a long time ago, if somebody puffs you up, somebody will punch a pen in the balloon. You know, they'll deflate you. You don't have to worry much about that, but my dad, on my 90th birthday, I was the MC, and there was quite a celebration on his 90th birthday. And we were just, I was busy doing something. I didn't hear what he said until just a short time ago. I listened to the tape because somebody was recording it, and I didn't hear what my dad said, but he complimented me. In fact, he said, I think he's the greatest preacher I've ever heard. And I didn't hear him say it. He was already passed on to be with the Lord before I heard it, but it was on that tape. I want you to dig that out and put that on one of these deals. Boy, that'd be a good part of it. Well, I'm going to share with you in a very short time what I believe God has moved on my heart to share. Because I feel like Brother Mark sort of set the tone in the prayer that he prayed, and then music followed that and went right through with that. And then my heart is moved usually when I don't often know what I'm going to be preaching until I get to a service. And I hear the tone of that service, and God touches my heart with something, and I feel that's what he wants me to share. Of course, when you get as old as I am, you're just full of the Word of God, and if you keep praying, it's all there, and all you have to do is just open your mouth. Just open your mouth and let the Holy Spirit do whatever he wants to do. Now, before I get started, I do want to say just a word about Wednesday night. Wednesday night, it's been my experience that the Wednesday night service, you have in that service generally the most mature people in the congregation. The crowd is smaller, though it's been very good. I think there may have been, 400 people here on the last couple of Wednesday nights. But I consider that these are people that are mature enough, you can just give them the best you got on Wednesday night. They can handle it. They can take it because they're just usually your people that really want to know the truth. They want to know the Word. And so that's what we're sharing on Wednesday night. I have been sharing about how to pray effectually. I'll continue that. Because the first part of it, you got to get prepared to pray. You got to get your heart prepared to pray. And we've spent about 35 minutes this morning in just worshiping, lifting up our voices together and worshiping the Lord. But not all worship is acceptable to God. Jesus made it clear on one occasion. He said, "In vain do they worship me." They're going through all the motions of it. They're saying the right things. They're offering the right offerings. But because their heart is not in it, and because they're following their own, the dictates of their own flesh, he said they're not really worshiping me in a way that I can accept it. Because somehow I have to say, if our heart is not right with God, then our worship is no pleasure to Him. And even though it may sound right, I mean, it may seem to be right, it's not actually right unless my heart is actually matching what the Word of God is saying. Amen. I've got to, that has to be an outflow of an inner experience with the Lord that has changed my life. Amen. And I believe that our relationship with Jesus is supposed to change us. It's supposed to make us a different person. And holiness and righteousness and godliness ought to characterize our life. And if we're attempting to worship God over a lot of trash that we have allowed to accumulate within us, it is not, that worship is not acceptable to the Lord. He waits and puts value on our worship only when our life corresponds with our words. It's got to be saying, my life has to be saying what I'm literally verbalizing. I think that's exactly what was meant in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, when Paul exhorts, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, it says in the King James. I think it's the New English Bible says, which is your reasonable service of rational worship. That's what rational worship is. It's not talk, it's walk. Anybody can talk. Amen. It's easy to preach. It's as natural for a preacher to preach as it is for a rooster to crow. Because there's a calling on us and an anointing on us. And I believe that anointing stays with us, even if our life is out of tune. Amen. It stays there. We can still teach. We can still preach. And there is an anointing that moves people, and yet my life may be out of whack. You might as well go like this way right here. If you don't want to, say amen, just go like that. I'll know what you mean. Because it's, listen, I know. Because I've had times when I wasn't really there like I needed to be. I don't mean I was out in some kind of overt or covert sin. I just knew I wasn't in the place I needed to be. And yet, there was an anointing on the ministry. And you can take that, if you're not careful, you can begin to believe that that's an indication that God is still pleased with you. Absolutely true. Because you're still having results when you preach. You're still seeing people saved. The Lord is still adding people to the church. And you can go away thinking, everything must be all right, or this wouldn't be happening. That's deception, you see. That's the only power that Satan has over any of us lies in his ability to deceive us, to make us believe that things are the way they are not. And once he gets us trapped in that kind of position, and we begin to look at these external things as an indication of the blessings of God, we're on the way to a great fall. I walked through the home of a pastor that was not yet complete. And so I was going through this home, and while I was going through it, I remember remarking as I was just walking through the house, well, Lord, it really looks like you've blessed this brother. And instantly the Lord said, this is not my blessing. Well, that took me a little bit off guard. And I said, well, Lord, that's what everybody's saying. That these material things are the blessings of the Lord. And he was saying, not my blessing. And then he said, you don't have anything like this, do you? The house is probably in the range of $500,000 to $750,000 home. I mean, beautiful, big home. And the Lord said, you don't have anything like this, do you? I said, well, no, I don't. He said, well, do you believe this brother, that this brother pleases me more than you do? I said, well, Lord, I don't really think so. He says, well, then you're accusing me of being a respecter of persons, that I blessed him, but I haven't blessed you. I said, no, Lord, I'm not accusing you of anything. He said, this is not my blessing. He said, my blessings are spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, and this has little to do with it. If it is the blessing of God, every one of the Godfathers is blessed. No, you can't look at your bank account and say, God's really blessing me. You can be thankful. But if you begin to view it as an indication of God's pleasure, that God is pleased with everything you're doing, because bad people can do good stuff, and it rains on the just and the unjust. It rains on people that are right, and it rains on people that are wrong. If you want the message for the first service, you'll have to get it. This is not it. You're different people. You're different people, so this is not a part of that, but I know God knows exactly where we are. So don't. The thing that we've got to avoid is looking at material things as a way of indicating that God has taken great pleasure in us and has poured out all this stuff. Thank God for all this stuff we have. I'm glad to have a good, dependable car to drive. Not a new one, but it's dependable. Amen. I've got a nice motorhome down there that I'm living in. I believe God has provided. Because I found out a long time ago, whatever it takes to do or complete the mission that God has given us to do, He will provide. If it takes an airplane, He'll provide it. Amen. Whatever it takes to fulfill God's will for your life, He'll provide. But if I begin to look at all that as an indication that I must be doing really good, that God's really taking great pleasure in me, then I will have missed the point. His blessings are spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and that's where my focus is, and that's where I want it to stay. Amen. I'm not looking at the material. I'm not looking at what may appear to be. Well, go ahead and praise God. It's the truth. Amen. It's the truth. Hallelujah. And the truth will make you free. I've seen a lot of people didn't have anything materially, but they had the blessing of God on their lives. Amen. They could walk right into His presence. They didn't have to back in. I mean, they could walk right in because their heart was pure before the Lord. And that's what He's looking for when we worship. He's looking for a pure heart. For somebody that does right when nobody's looking. That's the only person who is a Christian. The person who does right when nobody sees but God. Amen. You don't know whether to It's kind of... No, listen, I've lived a long time, and I've heard every kind of teaching and every kind of preaching that there is, I think, or just about. I've heard a lot of it, and I've watched the results of wrong emphasis or emphasis in the wrong place. I've seen what happens to men who begin to think that because all of these things that we can see are indicative of God's favor on our lives, I've watched it. I've watched the enemy get into that thing and tear them all to pieces. They didn't even know who was attacking them. They was blaming everybody but the devil. Well, it's the truth. And the Bible says the truth will make us free. The truth will make us free. Somebody said, you going to tell the whole truth about all the things going on around this church? If you'll call me privately, I will. But I'm not going to get up in public and air anybody's problems. Because there are people who don't even know what's going on. And could care less. But I'll tell you what's going on. He is. Amen. He's going on. And I'm going with Him. I want you to say, I'm going with Him. I'm going with Him. I'm not looking back. I'm looking to Him. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let's praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Old men shouldn't be shouting this loud. I want to release the dancers. The next time you have an appropriate song to dance on, hit the floor and dance before the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm releasing you to speak in tongues, to glorify God, to give prophecy. But you just make sure you're walking with God when you do that. Don't get up here and show out in front of people. No, but if that comes on your heart and you know and you've been praying, God, purify my heart and cleanse me. And then if you begin to feel that expression, just go right ahead. It's all right to dance. In church. It's all right to drink the Spirit, Holy Spirit, not these spirits. Amen. Oh, yes. I promised myself I'm going to stop. I'll tell you why. Not for your sake, but for those back in the nursery. Amen. Because there's people back there got their hands full and they don't want to run over till 12 or 12:30. Amen. No. I'm going to stop right here. Now, Father, I've just tried to share this little bit of truth. But oh, how powerful is this truth. How it sets our lives straight. How it corrects our value system. And we begin to see that the important thing is not the externals, but what's going on in the heart. What's really inside, that's what really makes the difference. Hallelujah. How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts today. Is it black with sin, or is it pure within? Could you ask Christ in to stay? People only see you as you are outside, but Jesus really knows you, for he sees inside. How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts today. Well, now let me ask you, friend, how would you feel if your heart were made with a window on each side so that all could see not just outward charm, but detect if inward harm? People only see you and you are outside, but Jesus really knows you, for he sees inside. How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts today. Hallelujah. Yes. Let's stand and praise the Lord. Let's stand and give glory to God. That's what counts. Hallelujah. How many of you will be honest enough to say this morning, there's some things in my heart that are not right, but I don't want to leave this place until I've talked to the Lord about some of these things that are right in here. I want to see your hand. Just put it right up. Oh, I can see all over this building. There's some things here that are not right. You don't have to leave here, and you don't have to make a public spectacle of yourself about. You can simply say, Lord, you know what it is that's troubling me. I'm asking your forgiveness. And then if that thing involves some other person, deal with it horizontally. You don't need to deal with it vertically. Deal with it horizontally. Amen. Go to that person. Get it fixed. We got to get it fixed, right? Got to get this heart fixed. Now, Lord, you saw all these hands. You saw them. You know exactly. You know what's there that somebody was moved to raise their hand about. Lord, whatever we may have done or failed to do that in some way has affected our relationship with you, we ask your forgiveness and receive it instantly. But Lord, if there's another person somewhere involved, husband, wife, children, neighbors, friends, brothers, sisters in the body, if there's another person involved in this matter, then let us fix it. Let us go and confess, and let us see you deal with that problem so that it is settled once for all. We pray in the name of Jesus. There will be prayer in the morning at 6:00. I'm going to be here rejoicing in the Lord. Somebody say, yeah, and you're probably going to go back home, go to bed. Probably not. Probably not. No, I'm going to walk with him all day tomorrow. How about you?